And welcome again to Cards Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and in this special episode, I'll be talking to Andy Buckley Taylor, who is a Derby County supporter, and he's on to give the opposition view of this match between Fulham and Derby County at Craven Cottage on Saturday. We have much to discuss, but before we do anything, I have to welcome Andy back to the show. Andy, welcome back to Cottage Talk.
Hi there, good to be here.
Well, listen, before we get going, please tell everyone where they can reach you and they can read you. You're on Twitter and you also have a blog.
Yes, my Twitter handle is at BuckTaylor64 and my blog, BuckTaylor's Derby blog. There's actually a link to it on my Twitter account.
Okay, and please do check out Andy's blog and do follow him on Twitter. When it comes to Derby County, he's my number one source, so I always go to Andy. Whenever I need any information on Derby County, Andy is the best person to go to. So please do give him a follow. All right, Andy, we have a huge match to talk about. Let's start with the beginning, painting the picture about Derby County. And we have to start with your former manager, Nigel Pearson. Talk about the beginning of the season for Derby County and why you think it started so slow, and also the situation with Nigel Pearson.
Well, Russ, you know, most people would know, Nigel Pearson has got a totally different style of play to what our previous managers had. Steve McLaren, Paul Clement, and even Darren Wassell all favoured the 4-3-3 formation. Nigel Pearson came in and probably rightly had a theory that it just wasn't quite enough to push them that extra yard and get them into the Premier League. From the word go, he was playing a 4-4-2, which is obviously a more common formation. During the pre-season, he played it out. And we get to the start of the season, and the players were struggling. Up front is where they were really struggling. They weren't creating chances. They were barely getting a shot on goal. And our strike rate was, to be quite simply, pathetic. And what surprised us was how long it took him to make a move into the transfer market. So he moves into the transfer market, and he brought it. Well, the striker he brought in was Matty Vidra, who's had a couple of tremendous years at Watford, but less successful years at West Bromwich and also Reading. Last year, he only got 2 goals for Reading. So he brings in Matthijs Vidra. However, he's let Chris Martin go out on loan to Fulham. Now, if you look at what sort of style of player Chris Martin is, and you look at who was playing up alongside with Vidra at Watford, Troy Deeney, similar sort of players who hold the ball up well. So he's basically filled one hole, filled one gap and created another. And it just didn't work. And, you know, there's various stories about player unrest. There's the old rumours that circular round on social media about why Nigel Pearson was sacked. At the end of the day, you know, we was in free fall. There's no way a team hasn't been outside the top 8 in the last 3 seasons should be floating around in the bottom 3. And, you know, he just had to go. And I'll hold up my hands, Russ. He was my number one choice to be the Derby manager.
I remember.
Yeah, and I was convinced. And even when we had the slow start, Leicester City fans were reassuring me. They said, look, he was terrible when he first came to us. He'll get it sorted. Now, I think we'd have been a little bit more patient and a little bit more persistent with him had there been any signs whatsoever of improvement. But there wasn't. To be quite frank, Russ, we were getting worse. So, you know, that for me, I think the chairman, you know, it was enough is enough. The fans aren't happy. It was like watching paint dry, Russ. You know, it was absolutely terrible. And we decided to part company with him. And then, obviously, appointing yet another new manager.
And we're going to talk about him in just a second, because you and I were talking off air and also personally, you know, we're going back and forth, who's going to be the new manager. And when it was coming to light that it was going to be Steve McLaren, I was curious your thoughts on that. So let's go back to when Nigel Pearson was sacked and McLaren came in. What were your initial thoughts and what are your thoughts now?
My initial thoughts were no. No, don't go there. Because, yeah, he had a successful spell with us. He very nearly got us in the Premier League. But if you think back to his last season with us, and it was all going fine all the way up to the March, we were sitting pretty at the top of the Championship there. And what happened then was the interest from Newcastle United. And it's not the fact that they were interested. And I wouldn't have minded if he says, look, I am in, you know, I would like to have a look at this job. It was the lack of any sort of response. The only sort of response we got was pure speculation, which is, you know, like stating the obvious, isn't it? You know, that the speculation, it was that reluctance. And I think that it had a, you know, an effect on the team, because we went from top all the way on the final day of the season. We were beat at home by Reading and we dropped down to 8th, a capitulation. And that final day of the season, then I was amongst those calling for his head. And I think at that particular time, it was the right decision to make. And when we reappointed him, he wasn't my choice. My choice was actually Gary Rowett, who yesterday was given the boot by Birmingham City, quite surprisingly.
Absolutely.
And unjustly, in my opinion.
I agree.
But he's proved us wrong. The first couple of games, I was a little bit suspicious that he hadn't got the trust of the players back. But as things have progressed, you know, we've won now 7 games on the bounce. I think he has gained the trust of the players back. And I also think the players, most of them who were there the last time he was manager, have realised, you know, that Nigel Pearson's style of management doesn't work with that squad. McLaren style of football, they can all play it. And they've realised what side of the bread, you know, what side their bread's buttered on. And they've responded. They've responded, to be quite honest, beyond belief. I'm having to pinch myself that it's going, you know, as well as it is. Because I'll be perfectly honest with you. His start this time, we are playing better than last time. Not because I'm thinking that the football's prettier. It isn't. But it's the game. It's how we are. When we're in a tough game, like last night, and we're having to grind out results, we're doing it because the defence is now very tight. And that's one area during his last spell where we were letting in, you know, the odd goals, which, you know, maybe we shouldn't have been doing. But, you know, it's unbelievable, to be quite honest.
Listen, I'm glad that you brought that up. And I was going to bring that up in a little bit when we talk about the table, because I was looking at your goals against Andy. 13 goals. That's it. That's impressive. So obviously that's going in the right direction. And then you put that with his system, the 4-3-3, and you still have that pretty football, like you said, but now you have the defense to back that up. So I guess you could say he probably came into a better situation now than when he left.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he did. You know, he's, well, what I will point out, Russ, what is even quite remarkable, if you look at our current defense, I mean, what's different to last time? We've got Scott Carson in goal. Lee Grant was a decent keeper, to be honest. Right back position, we currently have not got our first choice right back. Cyrus Christie was injured a few games ago. He's going to be out for about 3 months. Richard Keogh, yes, captain, always a first choice. The second left back's been quite a surprise, because Jason Shackle was a fan's favourite. And he went off form a bit under Nigel Pearson. He got injured and Alex Pearce came in. Now, Alex Pearce, we signed last season, in fact, prior to last season during the summer break, on a free transfer from Reading. he didn't get a look in last season. In fact, we sent him back out on loan to Reading. But when Shackle picked up that injury this season, Pierce came in. You know, he's been an absolute revelation. Barely put a foot wrong. Very, very steady player. Puts in a good tackle and reads the game well. And then we moved to the left-back position, where, you know, our first choice would usually be Craig Forsyth. Well, for the second season in a row, he's picked up a bad injury. And our backups to Craig Forsyth, originally it was Marcus Olsen, who was having a few indifferent games under Pearson and then beyond. And we brought in the youngster, Max Lowe, who I would probably say now, with Forsyth being injured, would get the nod. However, Max Lowe has picked up a niggly little injury. Marcus Olsen is now beginning to look, you know, like the player which we thought we'd signed. And that back four, when you look at it on paper, doesn't look anything special, but they're working very, very well as a unit. They're pulling, you know, they're all pulling the same way. They're putting the work in. And, you know, that's been one of the big surprises and one of the pleasant surprises so far.
Okay, very good. And we'll be talking about your team in a little bit more detail, just a few minutes. But before we do that, we have to talk about a current former player on loan from Derby County, and that is Chris Martin. At the end of the transfer window, Fulham brought in Martin on loan from Derby County. Now, what were your thoughts of the move at the time, and what are your thoughts about it now?
To be honest, he'd gone through a lean patch, not just this season, but towards the end of last season. And to me, he looked like a player who probably needed a move. You know, he needed a fresh challenge. He's done very, very well for Derby County. You know, he's been leading scorer whilst he's been with us. He cost us nothing in signing fees. He was a free transfer for Norwich City. Sorry to see him going away, but I wasn't at all surprised, to be quite honest, because he got that look about him of a player that needed the move. I had mixed feelings about him going, because if a player's unsettled and not happy, you know, you don't want him on the pitch. But then again, he's the sort of player now McLaren's back, that we could do with, you know, that starter player that can hold up the ball and, of course, bag you 15 to 20 goals in the season as well. So, you know, a bit of mixed feelings. I don't think he'll be back. You know, it's the ball is in the court of Fulham anyway.
Right.
Your manager stated he wants to keep him. It's been in the press over here. So the only thing in the way of him staying with you is if Chris Martin doesn't want to sign. But to me, when I've seen him on TV, he looks like he's enjoying the spell. Now he's got settled in, scoring a few goals, and, you know, you're winning games. He's obviously going to be enjoying himself.
Yeah, he's actually worked out fairly well. It's taken a little bit, to be honest with you, Andy. And listen, there are people, you know, Fulham supporters that are detractors, that don't see everything that he does. And you have said this to me, and I believe Mike Gregg has also said this to me as well. It's not just him scoring goals. It's what he does when he doesn't score goals, meaning getting his teammates involved. And I've seen that. And I think he's very valuable with getting other players in scoring chances, getting them in scoring chances. So did you see a lot of that when he was at Derby County?
Oh, yes. He's a very unselfish player as well. He can read an attack. Sometimes you'll see some of his touches, especially when he's laying the ball on for another player. And he's thought, he knows exactly what he's going to do with that ball before he does it. You know, I actually think he's a very intelligent player. And he's definitely an asset to a side. I don't know if you play a 4-3-3, do you, Russ?
Basically, you know, it's funny because it can morph into several different things. We've said it's kind of like a 4-2-3-1. He, you know, without a doubt, he plays more of the lone striker role. you know, it does morph a little bit in, you know, in central midfield, but basically, I guess you could say it's a 4-2-3-1.
But, you know, like I've said, apart from scoring goals, he'll set people up, or he even when he's not scoring or providing you with an assist, I bet you 9 times out of 10 he's involved somewhere with the move.
Listen, I can see his value, and I remember talking to you about this, and you know, it's funny because we've been talking about this a little bit in Bobby Zamora's first season with Fulham. You know, I mean, he wasn't scoring that many goals, and I remember Roy Hodgson saying, you know, basically, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but saw the value of Bobby Zamora, and then obviously he started scoring goals in his second season with Fulham, and I'm not saying that they're the same player. They are different types of strikers, but what's great about him is you could see the ability, the natural ability to score goals. But what I really like about him is that he gets everyone involved. Like you said, he's very unselfish, and I actually like that part of his game. So I can see his value, Andy, and I do hope that Fulham do sign him permanently. I hope that happens.
I personally think you will. I mean, there's a lot of chat on social media, you know, Derby County fans saying, oh, when Chris Martin comes back, they're clutching at straws.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it, to be honest with you.
I can't see it myself, you know, and I wish the guy well. You know, I hope he's very successful with you. And if he stays there, even the fans that moan, you know, he will win them over eventually.
I can see that. I can definitely see that, Andy, and that's why I'm glad that I could talk to you about this as someone that has seen him a great deal at Derby County. And I could see, listen, I can see why fans get frustrated, especially in the beginning when he wasn't scoring goals. But when you look at the entire picture and seeing how we're playing football right now, he's an integral part of it. And he will be a miss on Saturday. There's no question about that because he cannot play. So that's why I'm glad that we could have this discussion about him. But I want to talk about a former Fulham player now. And I told you he is beloved at Fulham, and that's Chris Baird, Bairdinho. So how has he gotten along at Derby County? I remember he was getting a lot of stick last season. Is it really the same situation with him? Have the fans come around to Bairdinho?
Well, it's gone full circle, to be quite honest. He came in. You see, last season, he played in the holding midfield. He played at left back. Not natural positions from what I've seen of him. And, you know, he was getting stick because he was making mistakes. But since the injury to Cyrus Christie, there was speculation who Derby would play in the right-back role. I mean, some were even suggesting Akechi Anya because he had played there for Scotland. But... yeah, that's the Gordon Strachan school of management, to play a left winger at right back. Some were speculating that it would be Jamie Hansen, but I think Steve McLaren wanted a little bit more experience. I mean, Chris Baird must be in his mid-30s now, so he certainly got that experience. He's got the experience of playoff football as well, because... when we met Southampton a few years ago, he was actually in that Southampton side. He's played very well, very solid. He's won the fans round. You know, I've never seen a player who last season, you know, the fans were one of the worst players ever for us. Now, especially after Sunday, did you see the goal against Nottingham Forest?
I did not see the goal.
Well, go if you get a chance, Rush, check out the goal.
I will.
And the pass that Chris Baird makes to Tom Ince, quality, absolute quality. The vision, saw the gap, saw where Ince was, and played a perfect ball through. And the fans, you know, to be fair, they're giving him the plaudits that he deserves for it, because it was his insight and vision that created the chance for Tom Ince. And, I'm pleased for the guy. I don't like to see any guy get stick. You know, and he's turned it round, and you know, full credit to him.
And what's great about him, Andy, you're already seeing it, he can play so many different positions, and he can be effective at so many different positions, some better than others. But you know, I got to be honest with you. He was one of my favorite players at Fulham, Chris Baird. And just because I like tireless workers, players that give you 110%, that's Chris Baird. And he can have every once in a while a very good shot. That's why he's got the nickname Bairdinho. All right, my friend. Enough talking about Chris Baird. Let's move on to this match. And heading into this match with Derby County, what players should Fulham supporters be on the lookout for? I've already noticed that Thomas Ince already has 7 goals. I'm assuming he's one of them. I'm fearful of Johnny Russell. And then your midfield, your central midfield is very solid as well. So talk about the players we should be looking out for.
Right, to start with, I don't think Johnny Russell will start. He didn't start last night. I think he's picked a knock-up. He was on the bench, but Andreas Weimann started on the left. I fully expect Weimann to start on Saturday. Can't really say much about him because he hasn't played much of a role this season due to injury. The other option on the left would be Abdul Kamara, who came on as a sub last night. And in fact, he put the cross in for Tom Ince to score. But it's the usual suspects for us. Will Hughes played a stormer of a game against Nottingham Forest. Absolutely ran that midfield. Also, Bradley Johnson, although playing the holding role, a more defensive role for the team, when we are on the attack, you know, he's capable of putting some good shots in from outside the box. The other midfielder position, I've got a sneaky feeling we might change it because Jacob Butterfield has been the man, but I think maybe this sort of game, it would suit Craig Bryson better. But your prets are going to be Will Hughes and without a doubt Tom Ince, because in the last 10 games, Tom Ince has looked like a new player. It's been like having a new signing. And your left back and your left-sided centre-half are going to have to, you know, really keep tight on him. And, you know, sometimes that's not even enough, because on Sunday, when he scored against Forest, he beat 3 Forest defenders. And you know, Eric Lehigh is a US international. He's no mug. But Ince just made them look stupid. And that is the main threat for me. I'm hoping that Darren Bent will possibly be a bit of a threat. He's played, you know, he's upped his game as well under McLaren. Not by the goal return. I mean, he's got a couple of goals, but also he's play, you know, with the other attacking players. But we'll have to see. Anyway.
Okay, my friend. All right. Let's now go into strengths and weaknesses. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to actually read some information to you from whoscored.com. I always like going there to get their thoughts on opponents. And this is what they had to say about Derby County. I'm curious if they match up with what you know about your team. So this is directly from whoscored.com. This is what they list as the strengths. Defending set pieces, very strong. Protecting the lead, strong. Weaknesses, finishing scoring chances, defending against long shots. Style of play, control the game in the opposition's half, attack through the middle, take long shots, short passes, non-aggressive, consistent first 11, opponents play aggressively against them. So that's just some information from whoscored.com. Does that match up for you with the strengths and weaknesses of Derby County, or are there other strengths and weaknesses that you'd like to add?
Obviously, the defence is going to be down as a strength. The midfield's strong. And I think, positionally, our biggest weakness is the attack at the moment. There's times inside the box where we're taking too long. You know, you know that time where you get a loose ball in the box and you think to the player, you know, just hit it one, have a go, where we're fapping about and not clinical enough. And I think that is because how the two central strikers we got on our books, Darren Bent, Matty Vidra, are not natural 4-3-3 players. So that would be the biggest weakness for me, you know, We need a, how would you put it?
Is this a square peg and round hole situation, Andy? Just not able to play the system?
Yeah. I think that's a fair description, to be quite honest. Matty Vidra is not a lone striker, and Darren Bent isn't for me. To me, a striker like Bent should have a shorter, pacier guy, you know, alongside him. But the goals at the minute are coming from Tom Ince, aren't they? You know,
yeah.
And Tom Ince is playing wide out on the right. So there you go. I mean, some people would say that that's the square peg in a round hole because he's left-footed, but it's not. He plays the position well, and it's working. But I mean, when January comes, I would be very, very surprised if McLaren doesn't bring in another striker.
Okay, and it's funny because that's what we've been talking about. Fulham need another striker. We need a, you know, we've been talking about needing a pacey striker to go along with Martin. Just a different option. Maybe not to play with him, but to play at certain times. Someone with a little bit more pace, because basically Fulham have a tremendous amount of pace out on the wings. And, you know, and I could also say in central midfield they have some pace with Stefan Johansson as well. All right.
Well, we'll say, Russ.
Yes.
If Idra plays or if he comes on, if you give him space, he will punish you, you know. But as it is at the minute, he's a lone striker and it doesn't suit him to be doing, you know, the what a second striker would be doing.
Right.
He's the sort of striker that needs another one alongside him. But if you give him an inch with that ball in a scoring opportunity, he will punish you.
Okay, very good. And listen, he was very good, Matty Vidra, with Watford. So Savisa Jokanović knows him very well. I'm sure he knows him, probably concerned about him heading into this match. And so that's going to lead me to ask you this. If you're a Fulham head coach, Savisa Jokanović, what would be your strategy against Derby County on Saturday? How would you game plan against Derby County?
Well, if you play 4-2-3-1,
yep.
You see that in a game, that switches easily from 4-3-3 style to a 4-4-2. You're playing the right formation, but really, really tight at the back. And you know, if I was playing against us, the counter-attack is where to get us, because especially on the left-hand side, Marcus Olsen spends a lot of time in the opposition half putting the crosses in. Richard Keogh often goes beyond the halfway line. The instructions I would, if I was a Fulham manager, would be if they soaked up a Derby attack and they're in possession of the ball, is to get down the other end as quick as you can, counter attack. Now, the first half against Nottingham Forest, they were doing quite well on the counter attack. The first half was very even. And I think we are weaker against a fast counter attack.
Okay, well, that's actually probably good news for us, because we have pacey guys coming down both sides. And if you're telling me that Olsen could be caught out, we've got Sonia Luka coming right at him and coming in that space. So that would, you know, again, based on what you're telling me, that's a way for Fulham to attack. And then down the left-hand side, Floyd Ayite has really been dangerous as well. Let me ask you this, Andy, because when I had Graham Large on the Wolf supporter last week, he was telling me he thought the match would be won in the midfield, you know, central midfield. Is it wrong of me to say that this is a similar type of match? Because when I went to whoscored.com and I checked out like the action zones, and in the middle third, Derby County spends their time 45% of the time in there. Fulham spend 44% of their time in there. And our central midfield is really a strong point. So can you see that being a place where this match could be won or lost or drawn?
It looks a bit of a stalemate, doesn't it? Stalemate a bit on the statistics. You've got the better strikers. Midfield, Steve. It could be. I mean, you've got a five-man midfield, but you got two in front of the defence. The statistics would suggest that the midfield will be, you know, the area to win.
Right. Right. And to be honest, Andy, it really does morph more into like a 4-5-1 because Stefan Johansson really goes forward a great deal. So it really is Kevin McDonald back there shading the protecting the back four. But you know, like I said, it changes and they interchange Tom Kearney along with Stefan Johansson. For me, a player that Derby County supporters should be concerned about is Johansson. Because if Johansson starts controlling the game, we're in good shape.
To me, when you're playing a 4-2-3-1, your midfielders need to be players who are very versatile.
Yeah.
I mean, I've used it when I've coached kids before. And the two, on the one hand, are a part of a six-man defence. But when you're on the attack, they're part of a five-man midfield. You know, those two are very, very important players. You know, before you get to the three. I mean, your three to me are your attacking midfielders. That's how I used to play it anyway.
Right, right, and that's why, you know. And again, when I look at Fulham and I look how we're built right now, and it really is working nicely. When you have Vaite and Aluko out wide, and then you have in the middle, you have Kevin McDonald, Stefan Johansson, and above him you have Tom Kearney. And when you have those three working together, I'm talking about McDonald, Kearney, and Johansson, that's when we're dangerous. And then obviously up front you have Chris Martin, who won't be in this match. And that's why I'm curious what Savisa is going to do in his place. I don't know what he's going to do in his place. It's a very interesting situation because Martin fits exactly what I think he wants to do. So what is he going to do in his place? That'll be the interesting part of this match, my friend. All right. What was that?
How did he play the forwards before you took Martin?
Matt Smith. Matt Smith played the role.
Could be an indicator.
It could be. It could be. I mean, my first thought is that it would be Matt Smith. And if I was a betting man, I would say Matt Smith. And he'll do a job for us, but he's, you know, and again, he doesn't do all the things that Chris Martin does. He doesn't distribute like Chris Martin does. He distribute, you know, I mean, you could say he does the flick-ons where Chris Martin is more ball to feet and, you know, just different. He holds it up differently. You know, that I could say, I'm talking about Chris Martin really holds the ball up. All right, my friend. All right. To wrap this up, let's go to predictions. Give me your prediction for this match, my friend.
You know, over this Christmas period, we've got you on Saturday, and then we've got a home game with Birmingham City, and we play Wigan in the new year. This in the holiday period, I think this is our hardest game. It's going to be a lot different to past seasons. You know, we've had some good results against you, but you know, you're a different beast now, and you're putting together a good side. I think, although we're keeping all these clean sheets, I think Saturday we will concede. It's going to come sooner or later. And to be quite honest, I like to get that one off the back, you know, hanging over you.
Right.
I actually think that this game will finish 2-2. I think, uncharacteristically, we will probably concede a couple on Saturday. But I can see us coming away with a point. It's a very difficult game. I'm hopeful. But it's my birthday as well. So you can't be beating us on Saturday.
Well, in advance, my friend, happy birthday. I didn't know that. Happy birthday, my friend.
Yes. Thank you very much.
I was not aware that Saturday would be your birthday, Andy. Are you going to be at the match?
No, I won't be. Okay. Work commitments. hopefully getting a stream. If not, I shall tune into our website on the Sunday and watch the full 90 after the game. I watch even the games that I've been to. I always watch the full 90 minutes of every single game, no matter how it's gone for us.
Yeah. Well, that just again, that's wonderful. I watch all the 90 minutes as well, and I get a lot out of it. Listen, Andy, it's difficult sometimes. I've watched matches where we've gotten destroyed, and I still watch it because I think it's important to watch it and try to learn from what went wrong. And in the cases when we have a nice victory, we recently had a 5-0 victory against Reading. It's enjoyable, but I still want to, I want to break it down. I want to see how we did it. So I enjoy watching the full 90. So I get that, my friend. I get that. All right.
Fulham's one of my favorite London grounds as well.
It's a wonderful place, and it should be, and again, this is a very interesting match. These are two teams, I think, very evenly matched that like to play football too. So it should be an entertaining match. It really should be. And we'll see how everything plays out, my friend. But before we go, please tell everyone one last time how they can follow you on Twitter and how they can find your blog.
Okay. My Twitter handle is @booktaylor64. There's a link there onto my blog, Book Taylor's Derby blog. It's a bit more cheerful now. Start of this season, it was a real depressing read.
Okay, very good, my friend. Well, listen, seriously, thank you so much for joining me. I always enjoy talking to you. And, I just want to make a mention to check out Andy on Sunday. Well, actually, it'll be posted on Monday on the Championship Roundtable. You'll be on it again, my friend.
Yeah, we're actually recording it on Monday.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been changed. There's been a late change, and we're recording it on Monday night now.
Okay, well, I definitely recommend checking out that show. I was on it last week. It's always fun to do, and I look forward to hearing you, my friend. Again, thank you so much for joining me tonight, Andy.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure coming on.
Okay, very good. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Cottage Talk. For Andy Buckley-Taylor, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.